thanks for coming out tonight.
Dad is not our slut.
Not us.
But we'll just keep rolling with it for a minute. As she said, I'm Susan B. Slampany. This is my partner here.
I'm Quinn McClendon.
So those are our roller derby names. In roller derby, most skaters take a name that's sort of our derby persona. It's usually a pun or a play on words or a pop culture reference. So obviously mine is related to Susan B. Anthony, the suffragette.
Mine is from the Disney Pixar movie Cars. You probably heard of Lightning Queen. I'm a mom of a little kid who loves Disney, so I thought it was appropriate.
So tonight we're gonna talk to you about roller derby. What we're gonna talk about is real quick, a little bit of early roller derby history, then the evolution of modern roller derby, how derby is played, and then we'll talk to you about your local roller derby team, the Ann Arbor Derby Dimes. And just so y'all know, you got us the pamphlet for our 2015 home season. We hope to see you all there. So, who has heard of roller derby before?
Oh, wow. All right. Holy crap. Wait, like old roller derby that was on TV?
Yeah, who has watched roller derby on TV? I got one in the back. There we go.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Right? All right, so roller derby actually started out just before World War II. There had been a very popular roller skating races, and just before World War II, those roller skating races became full contact. So all of a sudden, the skaters could run into each other, knock each other over, instead of just having to skate side by side, seeing who could go the fastest. You could also take someone out and find out that you're way faster than them when they've fallen down. Roller derby at that time was a co-ed sport too, so ladies and gentlemen skated side by side. And after the war ended, they started working. Oh wait, look at how cute we are. Isn't that cute? Okay.
Yay.
All right, you can knock people over. And then just after the war ended, they started to televise the matches. This was also at the same time that TV was becoming more and more popular. And while TV had daytime programming, nighttime there wasn't a lot to put on, so they would put roller derby matches on at night. It would just be hours through the night of roller derby. Who would love that? But because it was, roller derby teams were owned by producers rather than by the skaters, so it was a little bit more like WWE than it was like your standard competitive sport. So it was more one part sport, one part show than 100% sport. So it was very much a stylized effort with a lot of scripting involved. Once TV stopped airing roller derby as much, the sport faded out.
Only to be revived in the 2000s. So originally in 2000, when roller derby was this old idea becoming new again, it was rebirthed in Texas. So Austin, Texas is kind of like the new mothership of roller derby, of modern roller derby. And when they were first starting it, they wanted to mimic old time roller derby. So they all started out having a bank track, which is what, if you're familiar with watching it on TV, you'll see that it has the slanted sides and the slanted floor, and you go really, really fast around it. So, but the problem was when derby started to expand across the country and across the world, we found out that this is really, really expensive. And just a little clip, Michigan's first fake roller derby team was gonna be us, but it's cost about $40,000 in like labor and equipment and everything to make a bank track. So we were like, yeah, we're not gonna do that. So flat track was born.
And another big difference between flat track and bank track is, again, there's no promoters, there's no owners. Leagues are owned by themselves. It's the skaters that own the work. So hence less money.
Yeah, so in 2000 to when Texas started it, about 2005, across the United States, there were 50 leagues that just started popping up with this flat track idea. It's pretty cool that in Michigan, Detroit was an original. So in 2005, they've been around for 10 years now, they were one of the original flat track teams. So then early 2006, so just like a year after Detroit started, there were 80 leagues in the United States. And then that was in like January 2006. By the middle of 2006, it skyrocketed to 135 leagues in the United States. then till that kind of like, you know, was pretty normal. And then in 2009, things went crazy and there was 425. And then that was just in the US. And then in the rest of the world, different countries, there's about 80 of them at that time. So that was the big shift. So when they started up, they were mostly popping around in like really populated cities. Like, you know, Austin is a big deal, Detroit's a big deal.
Oh, you're clicking through, baby.
Okay. And there we go. So, who knows this movie, right? Everybody knows this movie. So in 2008, roller derby became so huge. And tons of leagues developed, and then the rule set developed even more so that basically nowadays you can't punch each other in the face, you can't trip each other, you can't elbow each other, you can't do any of those really fun, scary things, right? You still get injured. I broke my nose once, but still. So we made it a lot safer coming up to now. So going forward from here, we're going to talk a little bit about how modern roller derby is played.
So as Queen was saying, very much in the 1970s roller derby, folks were used to punching each other, choking each other, kicking each other with their skates, which sounds great when it's scripted. When it's not, that's not as so safe. So roller derby now has a lot of rules that govern it. When you play roller derby, so each team fields 5 players at once. I should use my pointer here. All right, so each team, so green team, red team here, each team fields a jammer. That's the girl with the star on her helmet. The jammer is the important one on the track.
I disagree.
To say another sport, she's both the quarterback and she's the hockey puck. She's really important. Then the other players on the track are called blockers. There's also one special blocker who wears a stride on her helmet called a pivot. The blocker's job is to help their jammer get away from the opposing blockers while simultaneously stop the opposing jammer from doing that. So the blockers have to stay close together. They have to stay within 20 feet of each other. In a nice tight little group that we refer to as the pack. And so while you're in the pack, you're both playing offensively, trying to make a hole for your jammer to sneak through, and defensively stopping that other jammer from getting past you. Everybody skates around the track going the same direction, and jammers will move through that pack of skaters then. They have to go through once. We call that an initial pass. That's just sort of like, prove to us that you can withstand this. Once they make it through the first time, then they can start scoring points. Both teams can score points at the same time. You score points by having the jammer pass the blockers with her hips. So as soon as she passes an opposing blocker, she gets that girl's point. Every pass, you can score more points. So two jammers, if they both race out of the pack, can both score 4 points for their team. The jammer that has made it out of the pack first during her initial pass is called the lead jammer. She has special powers. A jam lasts for 2 minutes, unless the lead jammer says, "This is terrible, I want this to end." Then she taps her hips and the jam ends. She'll usually do that strategically. I scored 4 points, I'm gonna call it off before the other jammer scores any points, or I am so tired and I just want this to be over. Or she's scoring points and I'm not, let's end this quick. So as Queen mentioned, there are legal target zones and legal blocking zones and illegal. So the pink parts are your legal target zones. That's where, as a blocker or a jammer, you can hit someone. All right. So Queen and I can hit each other in the shoulders. We can hit each other in the hips. And we can hit each other in the chest. I don't want a chest bump you, but we can hit each other in the chest.
It's really fun. It's like football with wheels.
I can get in front of Queen and hit her with my butt. Or the technical term in roller derby is booty. I can hit her with my booty, but because of safety, Queen can't hit me in the back. That's that white strip down the lady in the middle's back. That's unsafe, right?
So yes, madam. Pretend I'm a jammer, I'm not, but pretend. So if I'm gonna come up and I wanna get B's point, I have to come up and hit her either this side, or I have to go around her, because if I run into the back of her enough that she moves or falls or goes out of bounds, I'm in trouble. And I have to go to the penalty box. And it sucks, because your team really misses you.
And if this is confusing, maybe it will help if you see it with cats. It's okay to block it with, so it's okay for the kitty to hit you with their back, but you can't hit the kitty's back. Again, roller derby is a real sport. Real injuries happen, so we have to make sure that it's real safe. Roller derby's players have mandated safety requirements, including the fact that we all have to pass a mandated minimum skills test. You don't just get to put on roller skates and go flying around the track. You have to know how to do certain skills like fall safety, safely, and block safely. You also have to wear safety equipment. We all have to wear helmets. We all have to wear elbow pads, knee pads, wrist guards, and mouth guards, which we are not wearing. Don't tell our moms.
Oh, wait, go back.
Yes.
That's me. I actually do play roller derby sometimes. I don't just put gear on and sweat on a stage.
So often at the beginning of the game, blockers will line up together. Playing all by yourself when you're playing roller derby, you don't just skate out there and hope you can hit someone all alone. You get with your friends and you work together. You might use each other to create a wall that's impossible to get past. You might say, "She's coming, go get her," and shove your friends. You might hold on to your friend for stability while you hit somebody. So there's a lot of different ways that roller derby players work together, but if you're on the same team, you spend a lot of time touching each other. Now we can watch roller derby.
Yay! This actually happened.
This is our A team at an international tournament that they went to earlier this year in Eugene, Oregon. So here's our special people. Use the pointer. Okay. So back here are the important people with the stars on their helmets. They're skating forward trying to score the points. First, they have to make it through their initial pass, and then one of them is called lead jammer. That gives her the special points to call things off, or the special power to call things off if she hates it and wants it to end.
But we're in black, by the way. Ann Arbor is in black.
All right, so here comes the Ann Arbor jammer coming through. She skates past that blocker, and she ends the jam.
Look, there's you. High fives!
High fives!
High fives, everybody! Woo!
Does anybody want to watch that again? Did that make sense? Again?
Again.
Again.
Okay.
Again.
How
do
you think I make it go again? There we go.
So to get the jam moving, a referee will blow a whistle.
There's
you
a lot of
can't do anything until the whistle blows.
There's a lot of referees in roller derby. There are 8 referees. Again, because they're watching for a lot happening at once, because both offense and defense is constantly happening.
Here's our black jammer with the star on her getting through the white blockers. She almost got knocked out of bounds, but she made it through.
There she's on.
The white jammer is stuck in there, okay. So as our jammer has gone around and she's coming up, she gets to score now because she completed her initial pass. So she's coming up now past that last one, and because the other jammer was like pretty close to scoring points, our jammer doesn't want that to happen. So that's when she puts her hands on her hips like this. That one was 4.
One for each player from the opposing team that she passes.
What's a really good score?
That's
really,
a
grand slam. That's a really good score.
Yeah. So sometimes the blockers are so good at what they do that the opposing jammer never gets past them. And they just have to stay stuck behind them in jammer purgatory. Meanwhile, the other jammer is whizzing past, scoring not only all the points from the opposing blockers, but also the opposing jammer's point. That's 5 points, and that's a roller derby grand slam. For a game, a good score
is a close game.
Any game that's close is a good score. There are games that are very high scoring. For example, our Brawl Stars, our A team, just had a game where the final score was
a lot to a little.
390 something to 20. 396 to 20. They played real well that day. The opposing team did not do as well. We also just had another game with our Bruising Company, the Arbor Bruising Company, where we scored It was 250 to like 251, right? So scores can be really high if the jammers are doing really great that night. Scores can be really low if the blockers are doing great, but a close game is always the most exciting to watch. How long is a game? So a game is an hour long, broken up into these 2-minute periods, with also 30-minute halves. So there's a halftime in the middle for breaks.
So we're gonna move on from gameplay and we're gonna talk about us. Okay, so we're gonna talk about local roller derby. Ann Arbor Roller Derby was born in the middle of 2010 when a woman decided that Detroit was too far for her to drive, and the next league that was starting up was in Jackson, and that was too far for her to drive because she was a local in Ann Arbor. So she was like, I'm gonna start roller derby. So she did. She met at a roller rink with a bunch of other women and some men who wanted to be referees. And after flying the town, everybody that was there in that first picture, 2010, that's everybody that attended the first meeting. So 45 people actually showed up to that meeting, and then that woman became our first president of our league because we have a board of directors. And then we became competitive in 2011. We split up into two teams that played each other locally. No one traveled yet. And then down here in 2012-13, we kept those two teams and we added a travel team. So that travel team played all around Michigan. So then we decided a couple years ago, in 2013-14, we broke it off from home teams and became one giant league with three different teams that all travel because we're huge now. Something pretty cool is that we're skater-owned and operated. We don't hire a coach, and we're the only league in Michigan that does not have a coach. We coach ourselves. It's a really big deal. So I'm getting the signal that we have to wrap it up. But just really quick, this is our A team. They're called the Brawl Stars. They formed in 2011. Arbor Bruising Company. My co-captain's over there. Knuckles Kidman and I are captains of the Arbor Bruising Company, and B plays with us.
And so do several other folks.
Several other people. We have a C team called the Ypsilanti Vigilantes. They started in, they were the last team to form in
a year.
Yeah, it's like a year ago. Really, they got pretty solid. So then we have a governing body called the Women's Flatjack Roller Derby Association. Being a part of it is like a really big deal. You get ranked within that governing body. So if you look here really quick, when we started 107 all the way now today, we're 63 in the world.
I would just like to emphasize 63rd in the world.
World, the world, okay. So, derby love, man. It's all about derby love.
Real quick, when people say who plays roller derby, everybody plays roller derby. We have moms, we have about 28% of our members are over 35, 71% of our members work full time, 19% of our members are students. So we have all sorts of different folks. We have people with doctorates, we have people who have GEDs, we have people who are big fancy professionals who work in big fancy professional office buildings and people call them ma'am all day long. And we have people who are waitresses and nannies and all sorts of different folks. So roller derby is all sorts of different people. We have people who have never played a sport before in their entire lives and people who were freaking good at sports.
Softball players. A lot of softball players. I played softball.
I bet you did. So, roller derby is athleticism, and it's competition, and it's pushing yourself to be something you never knew that you could be, and it's exercise, and it's love. Our teams are so close. We are so close with each other. We take care of each other. We know each other's family. We take care of each other when someone's sick, when someone's injured. We're there to support each other. Corella DeVicious here has broken everything in your leg.
This is Corella DeVicious, and she broke her ankle. We're sad.
And they made me a lot of food.
Yep. And one of your teammates sponge bathed you, and all of that. Roller derby is a real community that forms. And we'd love you to come and hang out with us. So our next game is July 18th at Burr Park. You've got the season schedule somewhere in front of you, around here somewhere. July 18th at Burr Park, doors open at 5:30. Our B team, the Arbor Bruising Company, me and Quinn, are playing Lansing, and then the Vigilantes will also be playing Lansing as well. We also are always recruiting, so if you looked at this and you're like, that seems cool, I would like to do that, we would love to have you. If you were like, that seems scary, I'd still like to be somehow supportive. Like I said, roller derby, any game requires 8 referees and then up to 15 non-skating officials, volunteers who are also part of the refereeing type crew, but get to keep shoes on for the game.
Okay, cool.
Thanks so